I want to talk today about what all of us want more than anything in the whole world. Namely, when we die, to go to heaven and be happy with God forever. But when I started to research this important subject, it turns out that there's very little information we have on what heaven is like. If you look through, for example, books of sermons by Catholic priests and bishops, you'll see that there are probably 5 or 10 sermons about hell for every sermon on heaven. And if you try to read about heaven, everything you can find on the subject is very obscure. Hell, on the other hand, is a very easy concept for us to grasp. We can say that being in hell is like being roasted in an oven, according to the description in Scripture. It is being tormented by monsters and being in the presence of a very wicked people. There is no difficulty in understanding any of these things. But if we say what our faith teaches, that heaven consists mainly in the vision of the essence of God, that doesn't tell us anything that we can really understand that well. Even people who have received visions of heaven have not been able to tell us very much. St. Paul himself saw heaven, and despite his great eloquence and his gift for words, all he could say was that no one has ever imagined what it is like. So it's a very difficult subject to talk about, but at the same time, heaven, of course, is the very reason why we practice our faith in the first place. So the more we study and learn about heaven, the more hope we will have for it, and the greater will be our desire for virtue. So even though the subject matter is very difficult, it's a very obscure area of our faith, let us try at least to learn a little bit about this subject. If we read in St. Thomas Aquinas what he says about heaven, he says that eternal happiness will consist in the highest possible operation of the highest faculty of our being. So our highest faculty is our intellect. And the highest operation of the intellect is the contemplation and knowledge and vision of God. St. Paul says that we should give thanks to God who has made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light. So what is this light that St. Paul is talking about? He's talking about heaven, of course. And the word light is used to describe heaven in many places in Scripture. It says in the Psalms, for example, speaking to God, "In thy light we will see light." So this is also a description of heaven. If we think about light, it is something that makes things visible to us. When we are in a place that is lit up, we can see everything around us very well. And when we are in a dark room, we're not able to see anything really. So the light that the Holy Ghost is talking about in these passages where it refers to heaven in terms of light is the light to see God. In this world, we know God only by faith. We don't see Him directly. We don't have a direct knowledge of Him, of who He is and what He is. God is something very obscure to us. God is shrouded in darkness in relation to our intellect. But when we get to heaven, there will be an illumination of our minds that will allow us to see God directly in the beatific vision. It is like a light that will shine on God in a sense, that will light Him up, and we will be able to see His brilliant glory directly and see Him face to face. Or rather, it will illuminate our minds. And theologians call this the light of glory, the beatific vision. Our mind will be flooded to capacity with the vision of God, with the vision of His infinite perfection and His infinite goodness. And this beautiful vision will fill our minds with the greatest happiness that we can have and we will have this vision for all eternity. But what is much more important than that is that we will not see God as an inanimate object in the way that we might look at a beautiful picture or painting, but rather we will see God as a person, as three persons in the Holy Trinity. We will see His love for us too. We will see His care for us, His desire to have us with Him in heaven for all eternity. And that love that we see that He has for us will fill us with perfect happiness. In human life, we are always trying to find happiness, either in the possession of material things or in the love of other human beings. And these things are always disappointing to us, because we were created not for the limited good of creatures, but for we were created with an inexhaustible desire for good and for happiness. We want perfect and unlimited happiness, and therefore no amount of material things or other human beings like ourselves can ever satisfy that desire. Everything on this earth that is good, that we love, is by nature limited. But God is infinite. God is infinite goodness, infinite being, and infinite love. And in heaven we will see all of that. We will see the love that He has for us. And that relationship with Him and that possession of Him will fulfill every desire that we have. It will be completely secure from any danger and will last forever, this possession of God, this relationship with Him. This vision of God will constitute the main happiness of heaven, the beatific vision, but it won't be by any means the only joy that we have in heaven. We will also enjoy the company of the other saints and angels, and most of all of our Blessed Mother herself. We will never have any conflict with anyone else in heaven, obviously, because everyone there will be perfectly virtuous, and so will we. And we will be surrounded by the beautiful music of heaven too. And if you read the saints, many saints have had visions of people from heaven coming to appear to them. And they got just a tiny glimpse of the glory of heaven and heard just a few strains of the music of heaven and the melody that the angels and saints sing in the praise of God. And it was so beautiful to them that it took them practically out of their bodies. They went into ecstasy for hours, just filled with happiness and trying to contemplate the beauty and the wonder of what they heard and saw. This is from not even seeing God Himself, but just a person or an angel coming to give them a brief visit from heaven. They lost all sense of time or place. They were so filled with awe. All of this is what our faith teaches us about heaven. It's important also, though, to avoid falling into some of the common errors about heaven that are especially prevalent today. For example, in the Novus Ordo Church and other false religions, there are very erroneous ideas about heaven that we have to avoid. We hear people very often, you know, in the New Church, for example, saying that when they get to heaven, they're going to be living a life that seems basically like our life here on earth. They say things like, I'm going to be playing golf with God in heaven, or I'm going to be hanging around with my friends in heaven for all eternity, drinking beer and having like a big party forever. This is a completely pagan and naturalistic mentality. Or people will also say that they want to go to heaven so that they will be with their spouse or their parents or their friends in heaven forever. And that is what they think will be the main joy of heaven rather than the vision of God. It is true that we will be happy to see our friends and family in heaven. We'll see the ones who save their souls. and we will enjoy their company, that's certainly true, but the company of any human being, even our own family members or friends, is nothing in comparison with the company of God Himself and the contemplation and love of God Himself. This is our destiny. This is the lot that the infinite love of God has prepared for each one of us that He wants us to have. When we meditate on heaven and the joys of heaven, we begin to understand why God created us in His own image and likeness, and why He has been so merciful to us for our whole lives, to try to bring as many people as possible to heaven. If we look at the history of the human race too, we see that from the very beginning, God is constantly showing His mercy to the human race, to sinful people, trying to get them to repent and giving them lots and lots of time to do so, to turn away from their evil ways so that they will make it to heaven. God wants everyone to be with Him in heaven for all eternity. We see that even God sent His only Son to suffer and die on the cross and found His holy church to redeem us from our sins and to draw as many people into His church and to sanctification so that as many people could be saved as possible. It is true also that there have been times when God has punished great numbers of people with great chastisements. But these are the exceptions. What we see as a general rule is the almost infinite patience of God and His loving providence to try to steer the sinful human race towards Himself and towards the truth and towards His holy service so that they can ultimately enjoy that eternal reward. But heaven is not something we are going to get for free. It will be given only as a reward for fidelity to God and perseverance in virtue. But of course, it's difficult to practice virtue. It's hard to get to heaven, but we shouldn't be afraid because God has promised us the strength and the ability to overcome any obstacle that will be in our way. But we could just look at the allies that we have in our struggle against our fallen nature. We have God and His grace strengthening us along the way, who wants us to be saved. We have our Holy Mother Mary, who is interceding for us all the time, and we have the angels and saints always praying for us too. And here on earth, we have God's Holy Church with its sacraments and sacramentals and those enormously powerful channels of grace that we can draw strength from anytime we want, that we have to use as much as possible. These sacraments give us new life and have the power to restore us to the path of virtue when we fall into mortal sin. With all of these assistances that we have, we don't need to worry that we'll fall into sin and lose our souls as long as we use these means of grace and avoid the occasions of sin. Even if we have terrible habits of sin that keep trying to draw us into hell, we have the promise of God that no matter how difficult our temptations are, if we use the means of grace that we have, that He has given us, we will ultimately overcome and save our souls. Sometimes it might seem that the path of virtue is just too difficult and heaven just can't be good enough to be worth the sacrifice to get there. It's true that we have to constantly be carrying our cross, constantly denying ourselves. But when it becomes difficult, we have to look at our Lord Himself who carried His cross before us. And in His case, His cross was the weight of our sins. We have to imagine Him carrying this terrible weight up Mount Calvary to die for us on the cross. And he is asking us to share a little bit in the sufferings that he went through for us. We know that if we stay close to our Lord, even on Mount Calvary, and suffer with him, he will bring us also to glory. And finally, when that blessed morning of eternity dawns for our souls, in that bright light we see the face of God, in the vision of the angels in the holy city, we will think of the words of Scripture. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, O Lord. Forever and ever shall they praise thee. How great is the house of God, and how vast is the place of his possession. It is great and hath no end. It is high and immense. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.